Every girl dreams of finding her true love, yet fears she won't. When fear directs our decisions, it always deals in extremes rather than in wisdom and moderation. In order for our dreams to move from the mist of the night into the light of day, we must first surrender them to God. We realize our dreams when we put them in His hands. Stay tuned as Lisa and I discuss how to rest in the promises of God, trusting that He would never deny the ultimate fulfillment of the dreams He's placed within us.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome their daughter, Kelly Copeland, and her special guest, Lisa Bevere, to today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
You know, I think all girls believe that there's a prince out there for them. You know, my girls always loved fairy tales, and they always wanted to be the princess, and I'm talking like that was past tense, but it's not. But you know what? And I love the line in the movie, A Little Princess, where the little girl said to her friend, she's like, all girls are princesses. And you know, God put that in us. God put that sense of wonder and that sense of awesomeness in women. You know, I was reading in Genesis, in the New Living Bible, it says that when God presented Eve to Adam, He said, wow. It's His princess. So that's what we're talking about today. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I'm Kelly Copeland. And all this week, we've had our wonderful guest, Lisa Bevere, and she's back with us again today. And I have my daughter, Lindsay, and my daughter, Jenny, and my niece, Sarah Hart Pearson. She's married to my nephew, Jeremy. And so we brought these girls on. They're our panel. They got to be the panel yesterday. So we added Sarah to the panel today. And Lisa, we want you to tell us a story.
Oh, wow.
No, you know, yeah. It's there's so much truth in those fairy tales. Yeah. It's
unbelievable. Well, you know, I believe that the story of Sleeping Beauty captures every single woman's longing that she would be awakened from a nightmare and transported into a dream. And that's really what Jesus does for us. Mm-hmm. I love the scripture, Psalm 45, that it says, forget your father and his house because the king is enthralled with your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. And it says, instead of in the likeness of your father's lineage, your natural lineage, you're going to have sons in the likeness of your heavenly bridegroom. And every young girl wants to have this groom, this prince that comes into her life. And yet the only one that ever will completely be that for us is Jesus. And I believe that we have a whole generation of young girls that have fallen asleep, and God is awakening them. I love the story of Sleeping Beauty. We've read the children's version, and to me, it captures so many things that are going on. We have a parents, and they're excited about this birth of this beautiful princess daughter they have, and all these different people come to bless her, and a bunch of fairies come, and one didn't get invited, and it's angry, and she puts a curse on this child, and she says, you know what? On her 15th birthday, she's going to prick her finger, and she is going to die. But there was one fairy left, and she said, no, she's not going to die. She's just going to sleep for 100 years. As if that's a great option. And so the parents were like, okay, we're really glad she's not dying, but the 100-year sleep is not great. We're not excited about that. And so the parents go into the safety mode, and they're like, what can we do so that our daughter does not have this crisis on her 15th birthday? We don't want to see her prick her finger on a spinning wheel. So what we're going to do is we're going to make spinning wheels illegal. And so they try to preserve their daughter. They make them illegal in the country. And on the very day that they should actually be with their daughter protecting her, they go to visit another king. And the daughter goes off into this room that she's never been in. She's got free course of the castle. And she pricks her finger. And she falls into this sleep. And the whole country calls into the sleep. And there's a longing. And there's a waiting and a resting for this prince to return, to come back and redeem the Sleeping Beauty. And I believe that that's what we are to the Lord. For 2,000 years, His bride has been waiting and getting ready and saying, we just want you to awaken us to your touch. And this one noble prince comes and fights through all the resistance and fights through all the thorn and the thistles that have and captured this woman and finds her. And he's so moved by her beauty that he awakens her with a kiss. And this really captures how God talks about our sexuality, that we are to be awakened by our beloved by the one who is willing to give his life for us, for that covenant, that God sends this prince to us, that he says, I'm the one that's going to awaken those desires in you, and I want you to be ready to respond to me. And so then this prince comes, takes her away from all this captivity, and doesn't just say, okay, now you're free, I'm going to plop you on the road over here. But he takes her, and he brings her into this incredible royalty, this incredible banquet, everything she's ever dreamed of, everything she's ever imagined. And, you know, I believe that that is what God has for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. He says that it's exceeding abundantly above all we could ask, hope, pray, or believe. It's way outside of our mind. The Bible says that we serve a God whose kingdom is without end. That doesn't mean it goes on forever. I mean, it expands forever. I mean, it is forever growing in our mind and our capacity that would just be every dream we would ever have, any hope. We find that it's just small in comparison to what God has for us. And there's just this awakening of this prince to girls that are in a nightmare and girls that have also waited. So there's girls that they're in a nightmare and he's saying, baby, I'm going to teach you how to put it back to sleep. And then I'm going to awaken it at the right time. And then there's other ones, he said, well done. You have rested, you have stewarded your sexuality well, and I'm going to awaken it at the right time. We both have an awakening, and we are all destined for the awakening of a prince. And there's a lot of symbolism in here. There's a delayed curse. These parents, they don't understand that when you have a delayed curse, it's actually way more dangerous than something that's imminent.
You get comfortable.
Mm-hmm. A lot of parents nowadays are like Sleeping Beauty's parents. They have said, okay, you know what? Sex is wrong. We are just going to make it illegal in our house. We're going to say it's bad. We're going to say don't do it. We're going to make sure there's nothing in our house. Well, see, but you don't understand what all is in your house. And how much better if Sleeping Beauty's parents, instead of making spinning wheels illegal, because they are a good thing, they're a necessary thing, they would have taught her how to be skillful with the spinning wheel. And so we as Christian mothers and fathers need to teach a generation how to be skillful with their sexuality, which means we teach them how to keep it asleep until the right time, until the right person. We were talking, it's covenant with God, it's covenant with our mate. And then when it awakens, it doesn't awaken as lust, it awakens as love. And it awakens beautiful, and it awakens free. God never says it's not good. He just says it's not time, and it's not to happen outside of covenant without that person. And so God is awakening a generation of daughters that are broken. He's putting it back to sleep and then awakening them to a dream. And he's really strengthening the daughters that have said, we have stewarded our sexuality well, and saying, I'm going to cause you to awaken in a dream that's anything more than imagined. And, you know, I had to fight because I had awakened it wrong. I had to put it to sleep through praise and worship. I love the scriptures, Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord your God, he is mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will quiet you with your love. What I literally did is I had to worship God and praise him. And there's that place in the spirit when you're worshiping God, when you literally know he's singing over you. He is singing over you. And every one of us, every young girl that's had a nightmare, you've had a nightmare out there. See, there's this beautiful lullaby that God wants to sing to your spirit to put back to sleep what's awakened in the wrong manner and at the wrong time. And if you'll just press in and you'll just worship him, he'll begin to sing over you. He'll quiet you with his love. He'll tell you, listen, I know the desires of your heart, and I'm going to give you those things in the right time and in covenant and with the right person. And so this has just been my thing to say, okay, this is our sexuality. This is what it is. It's our Sleeping Beauty. It is the thing that we wait for the response of the prince to wake up. And it really is in the women's hand. It is not charged to the men. It is charged to the women. Not once, not twice, but three times. Do not arouse or awaken love before it's time. Women have the power to awaken love just by what they show a man. My husband, if I'm running from one room to the other in my bra and underwear, he thinks that's an invitation. I just know I'm getting dressed, but he's tracking, going, lock the door. I'm like, no, this is a woman getting dressed. This is not a woman arousing and waking love right now. This is me just trying to get clothes on because I'm running late. But see, that's the kind of power that we have as women. And so we need to understand how powerful we are and how important it is that we steward it well.
The girls today have traded that power in for something that has no power. In fact, puts them in a position of
subjection. Yes.
And they don't realize it. They think how, you know, they're powerful because they can turn ahead, but it puts them in this being an object, objectifying what God created. Mm-hmm. And so God has this infinitely better idea.
Yeah.
And he made us to belong to somebody. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the Pharisees said to him, you know, they were asking him, well, what about divorce? And he said, don't you remember that in the beginning God created male and female? He created male and female. He wasn't talking about Adam and Eve. He said he created them to match. He created them to fit, to work, to be the prince and the princess that belong together. The ones that, you know, my girls are well-versed enough in fairy tales to tell you what the Sleeping Beauty's prince's name was and what Snow White's name and what, you know, they knew who belonged together. They could play the, well, I don't know. You don't look like you did, but Rachel. Okay, Rachel knows.
Rachel
definitely knows. But you know
she's
what? Jeremy, Sarah's husband, said something to me when he was telling us that he asked Sarah to marry him.
And
such
a beautiful story.
It's amazing. And he said, if you know God has the one picked out for you, then by faith, live your life like you do too.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Hold on. And Jesus said, in the Word, it says to avoid fornication.
It says flee fornication.
It does. And it says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. But that would mean to flee adultery if you looked at it after you were married. So this is before you're married. Yeah. Have your own husband.
Right.
Before you're married.
Know you're set apart for another
one. Know you're set apart for that person. And know that, you know, you're encapsulated in garden. You allow the Lord to do that. And he does a wonderful job of concealing you, of protecting
you. I like what
you
shared about Jeremy said about you. That he said, I want to show you where I, and where did he find you? Tell that, because it was so beautiful. And I believe, was it in? Where God is talking to the children of Israel, and he says, you will be a special people to me above all others, a special treasure to me above all others. And he saw that in the Word one day, and he just came to tears over it, and he said, this is my scripture for you. And later he found out that in a Jewish ceremony, the bridegroom actually does say to the bride, you will be a special treasure to me. And that was wedding language that the Lord was using toward the children of Israel.
Right.
So it was so special to me that, you know, he would have the heart of the Father towards me. And that's how I knew that, you know, I'd waited for so long to find that one or for the Lord to bring me him.
And no regrets now.
And no, because I knew that the Lord was preparing him. I knew that the Lord was preparing me for him. And it was so awesome because the Lord started giving me that dream of my husband. And I had to let that dream take its course and then walk into it. And then when it was like what you said, exceedingly abundantly above. It was all my dreams came in one swoop. You know, everything just was laid out for me. God did it big. Like one day I was talking to Kelly at lunch. We had a dinner and she was telling me, doesn't God just do it? If it's God, it's all out.
It's extravagant.
It's extravagant. And that's how it was.
I told the girls, I was really inspired by watching Sarah and Jeremy. I said, you know, if your relationship that you're thinking about marrying this person doesn't feel like a miracle, like only God could have put this together, then I don't think it's him.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever does he do in your life that doesn't just go, you know, that's what, and like Adam saying, wow. You know, why would God love Adam to present him with a wife?
Absolutely.
Any more than he loves you to present you with a husband or present you with a mate.
And it's restoring back the dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And the male-female dynamic has become so ugly and so troubled. I mean, the fall originated the battle of the sexes. We were never enemies. We were allies. And God is restoring back the purity and the beauty and the strength and the virtue. And he's putting all these things back that have been stripped and stripped and stripped over the centuries, over the decades, over by our culture. And I believe the Christians are going to rise up and have these beautiful marriages where we're going to be living the gospel, not just preaching the gospel. I mean, everything about, I mean, people love watching John and I because we laugh together. We've been married for 25 years and they say, you guys still enjoy each other. And we do. We like each other better now. And we've been married for 25 years and I loved him. I mean, I was crazy. Like, you're crazy about Jeremy. I was crazy about John when I married him. He was my prince. But it has gotten better. And that is the kind of testament we have to live. And my children, same thing for them. I want them to go further. I want them to go farther. Mm-hmm. I want them to have laughter in their homes all of their years. I want them to have joy in their marriage bed. I don't want them to be hung up. I don't want them to be afraid. I want them to just rejoice in every good thing.
Happily
and not
ever
have
after.
Any shame. Absolutely. Happily ever after.
Yeah, and God has this place. I just see this place he's calling you. And if you dig into his word, I don't care where you've been, if you will make yourself a student of his word. And you know what? People are afraid to subject their life to this. Mm-hmm. I heard Creflo say, he said, you're afraid to deny self. You're afraid to do what God wants you to do because you're afraid he won't give you what you want. It's so true, though. Wow. Like in any area you're holding back from the Lord, you're afraid he won't give you what you want. And his plan is so much bigger than ours. So if I don't care where you've been or if you've been like these girls and you've done things right or if you've messed up, doesn't really matter. His grace, it doesn't matter to his mercy. But you can stay there. And you can remain forgiven, and you can get forgiveness again tomorrow, and again the next day, and
but
again the next day.
But you won't walk in the
blessing. But you won't walk in that happily ever after. Mm-hmm. But if you will make yourself a student of the Word, like God did in your life, it doesn't matter where you've been. He'll put the blessing on you. Things will start working. The Word says all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Didn't say anything in there about, well, you had to have, if you want God working things out for you, then you have to have led a pure life and you have to have done things right and have to be raised in a Christian home. That's not, he said two things, who love him and are called according to his purpose. So it has a lot of implication to it of obedience. But when you talk to us again before we leave the air, I want you to really talk to us about putting that to sleep. Because you said that you did it with praise and worship. And I know in your book you talk about how music is very important to awaken passion for the opposite sex as well.
Absolutely.
So you use that same power of that music to put it. Well, to awaken your passion for God.
They parallel each other. You can either awaken romantic love, and the way you awaken romantic love is you write notes, you talk to the person, you sing songs about them, you think about them, or you awaken your passion for God. You write notes to God, you read his letters to you, you talk to him, and you sing songs to him, and he sings back to you. It's spending time. It's the same thing. But also for me, Kelly, I had to actually be deliberate. You know, it didn't just fall on my head. When you have made sexual choices, it's one of those threefold sins, spirit, soul, and body. And so what happened, I found for me, is when I was a heathen, I had made a lot of bad choices. I, you know, on dares with my sorority sisters to X-rated movies, and I saw all these things that never bothered me when I was a Christian. Before I was a Christian, never, those images never tormented me. I got married, I became a Christian, and all of a sudden those images are hitting me, bombarding me, the shame. I knew I'd been forgiven. My husband, God gave him a word to see me as a virgin before I even came and told him I wasn't one. He said, wait a minute, you're telling me you're not one, but God just told me you were one. And he said, if God tells me you're a virgin, he said, who are we to argue with God? John has never put shame on me. So I had the forgiveness of my husband, I had the forgiveness of God, but there was things that I had to face off with. And I remember, I said, God, I'm going to go to your word, and I am going to lay hold of the blessing of God. I am going to renounce the curses. Father, I repent of all these things. And I was very deliberate with it. And I said, you have set before me life and death, blessing and curses. And you know what? I need to appropriate the blessing in my life because I can see the curses in my life. I can see the curses in my parents' life. I can see the curses in my grandparents' life. And those curses will not travel to my children. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about me, but it's about me and every life that passes through me. And so I remember John had gone away on a men's retreat, and I sat alone with my Bible, and I journaled, and I listened to worship tapes, and I prayed, and I said, this is the day. This is the day. This is my day that has been set before me. Life, death. I mean, you have to actually say, God, I'm honoring you that today is the day. And I believe God always is the most powerful in the now. You know, not in the past, not in the future, but in this moment. And I was like, this moment, you're my God. You're my God from this moment forward. And it appropriates. It doesn't happen. Salvation doesn't even happen unless you appropriate it and say, you know what, God,
absolutely, and
I laid hold of everything. And we actually have an entire chapter in here because, you know, you need to be still. And you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And there was little things I had done where I had to say, you know what? You know, okay, put that aside. And God just washed me. It was very deliberate. And then he strengthened me so that I could respond to my husband. Because I was shut down with John, who I should have been free with. And I was free with all the people I should have been shut down with. And so I had to, on purpose, flip that around in the Spirit.
Well, you went to the Word.
Yeah.
And you did what Jeremy... How Jeremy found Sarah in the Word of God, you found yourself.
I did.
The truth about
who
yourself.
I was.
The truth about yourself. And you know what? The Lord says that He, when you repent, He casts all remembrance. It's gone out of His. He does not remember it anymore. Right. And then He says, put me in remembrance.
Mm-hmm. That's
word. What does He mean? Mm-hmm. Find out who you are. You can tell the Lord who you are. Mm-hmm. You say, Lord, I am worthy in you. Lord, and you start reading the Psalms and you start reading about who you are and you're a special treasure. He said that about you.
Yeah.
So, you know, He wants you to look in here and find who you are and tell Him who you are. Mm-hmm. And when you start doing that, it builds up on the inside mm-hmm. of you and it becomes real until that other person is like, you don't even connect with that person that you used to be. Mm-hmm. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I've had a good relationship with my mother. My father was abusive, and my mother, having a good relationship with my mother has helped me through that. She really stood by my side and strengthened me through it all, and, you know, we can talk to each other as friends, but yet there's still that mother-daughter relationship that we have, that wisdom that she can give me, you know, and that advice that she can give me from just living life.
We do need our moms. We don't want to admit it because we're like, oh, we can do it on ourselves. But our mom, as my mom likes to say, I'm your greatest ally.
It's important to have a really good relationship with your mom because, like, then I get it helps you and, like, takes burdens off of you. So, and then she can help you deal with things and teach you how to deal with the situation.
Sexual purity isn't about rules. It's about freedom and power. Freedom to focus on Christ and the power to fulfill God's purpose in your life. It's time to take back what we've given away. The Kiss the Girls curriculum package by Lisa Bevere is designed for youth, but also for women of all ages who long for greater intimacy with Jesus and need to embrace God's healing and restoring love. The Kiss the Girls curriculum package contains the best-selling book, Kiss the Girls and Made Them Cry, an interactive workbook, poster, and two DVDs with four lessons, plus a question and answer segment where Lisa openly and honestly answers relevant and poignant questions. The Kiss the Girls curriculum package will strengthen those who've chosen purity while encouraging those who've made a decision to start anew. Lisa Bevere will help you discover the strength, honor, and splendor awaiting you. No matter what your past, there is love and beauty in your future. Order your copy of the Kiss the Girls curriculum package. The cost for the full curriculum is $69.99 and includes the DVD teaching that is ideal for Bible studies and group discussions. You may also purchase the book and workbook package separately for $24.99. Order today. Log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free, 800-575-4455, or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
Well, praise God that He is always faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to lead us into what He has for us. You don't need to wait any longer. You don't need to say, oh, thank God I'm forgiven. Now I'm going to punish me. God is not setting punishment before you. He's setting life in front of you. He wants to give you the life more abundant to the fullest. So if you've messed up before, there's nothing that God cannot forgive you of. And it says in His Word, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins every time that you make them. So if that's you, if you've messed up sexually, or if you've not lived a pure life, do what my mother was talking about and just say, Lord, I repent. And then it says, put me in remembrance. And you say what you want God to think of you as. So let's pray right now. Pray with me. Say, Lord, I thank you so much for your forgiveness.
I thank you so much for your forgiveness.
I do not any longer. Want to grieve you. With any impurities. And I wholeheartedly repent. And I am turning away. From every sexual lust. Every sin. And every evil opportunity. And I look to you. And I thank you for your perfect plan. And now, Lord, that I have repentance. I tell you. I am your treasure. Worthy of everything that you have for me. Because your blood has made me as pure and white as snow. Amen.
Hallelujah. That is not a fairy tale. That is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
God has changed you from the inside. Mm-hmm. And so just as you begin to open His Word, expect to hear from Him. Expect to see life. Expect to see you in that mm-hmm. Word. He's got wonderful Amen. Things to say about you. And so does Lisa. In her book, our product offer is a good segue, isn't it? Our product offer this week is Kiss the Girls and Made Them Cry. You can buy the book, or, which I would suggest to you, that you get the curriculum and share, you know, join it, start a group, sit down with your family, your daughters, your granddaughters. It has 5 DVDs, a book, a workbook, and instructions. That was always helpful to me, a poster. It's got all the things you need to help the girls in your life make the right choices and to help them know who they are in Christ Jesus. This has been a wonderful day today. I want you to please join us again tomorrow because moms and daughters, we are going to talk about communication.
Ooh,
we're going to talk about how y'all need to talk together.
Yay.
And we don't want you to be Sleeping Beauty parents who go on vacation the day their daughter is in danger. That is not who we are.
Yeah.
We are amazing parents, right? And we're daughters that are smart enough to listen to our mother. So until then, this is Sarah and Kelly and Jenny, Lindsay and Lisa reminding you that
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To order a copy of this broadcast or today's product offer, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Make the decision to walk in love and live by faith. This is the year of the open door, and the blessing is yours.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.